Powerful Women Let's Talk is made possible in part by Family Fair, keeping it real.
Produced by women about women, Powerful Women Let's Talk is a series of interviews with women who have helped shape our community and transform who we are and how we live.
A small business owner, director of planned giving, today CEO of Grand Rapids Opportunities for Women, or GROW. Bonnie Nawaro admits she's met her professional challenge. Bonnie's the recipient of many awards, gives back to her community, and did you know she loves to sing but can't carry a tune? Welcome to you, Bonnie Nawaro, to this edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk.
Thank you, Shelley.
All right, welcome. So let's start off by you singing a tune, and we can be the judge of whether or not you can keep a tune. How's that?
Oh, you got to be kidding me. Really?
Just teasing. Start off with humor. Humor's
yeah. Nobody would want to listen to the rest of the interview.
Humor's healthy. Oh, we've got good listeners out there. Bonnie, obviously, I want to talk more on the did you knows. That's half the fun of a conversation, but we want to be inspirational to that listener. So let's talk a bit of careers, plural, 101, and perhaps the elephant in the room. You truly weren't challenged as a small business owner or the director of planned giving for a large nonprofit. Bet you did a good job. But let's talk about this word challenge, being challenged, and what brought you to where you are today.
Sure. I was, in fact, challenged by being a small business owner. I mean, I knew nothing about running a business. At the time I was married, my ex-husband had a great idea, decided he wanted to go into business. So he started researching franchises. So we bought a printing franchise. And after we signed on the dotted line, he looked at me. And the idea was when we were buying the franchise, he was going to leave his job. He was going to run the franchise. I was going to remain where I was. After we signed on the dotted line, he said, I can't do this. You have to do this. So I became a business owner. And I loved it. But it had reached a point, I had done it for 20 years. And it had just reached a point where I was bored. I needed something different. I know myself well enough to know that I like taking things and building them. And then when they reach a certain point, it's time for me to exit left.
So, but I trust planned giving was still challenging, yes.
Yes, planned giving was challenging in that it was planned giving. I mean, it dealt with trusts and estates, and I knew nothing about that. And so they trained me, and I aligned myself with a lot of specialists in the area. So they actually hired me for my people skills, the ability to connect, and I do that well. And so it was easy for me, right? But it was repetitive. It was the same thing day in, day out, and it just wasn't challenging enough for me. And so after 6 years of doing that, I decided to once again see what was out there, and the position for GROW came up, and I got hired, and it's definitely been a challenge, a good challenge.
Let's expand on
that.
Yeah,
it's first a great challenge.
Yeah, talk about GROW.
Yeah, I've been with GROW for 10 years. I mean, GROW has been around in our community for 31 years. So I was hired 10 years ago to really bring some synergy to the organization. I mean, it had lost its synergy, and that we have done. I mean, it's been quite a ride. I mean, we have become, we became the first community's first microlender. We became the community's first CDFI. So we are really evolving from an agency that provides technical assistance to a lending agency with strong technical assistance surrounding the clients.
Bonnie, how do we know that we're in the right career job for us, for women? How do we know that? Does it take three times and you're there?
You know, that's a great question, Shelley. And the only thing I can tell you is based on my own experience, and that is, I've had many interesting careers over my span of 60 some years. I will tell you that with GROW, I know it's a perfect fit because everybody that I talk to in the community will say to me, you're so good for that job. You're perfect for that job. And then the second piece that comes into play around that is things happen when I need them to. I mean, it's pretty amazing. I mean, I was looking for a financial administrator. We were having difficulties finding one, a qualified one. And I happened to be talking to a friend and said, well, I'm looking for this. And she goes, wait a minute, I got a really good friend that, is a financial administrator. I think she'd be perfect. And so it just came together.
What's your leadership style and how did you develop it?
My leadership style has evolved over the years. I started leading in the mid-70s, and I was in the trucking industry. I was the only female parts manager in the entire United States. And so my leadership style was very autocratic. more male than female. And so, and it served me well, but over the years I found that particularly if you're dealing with, you know, if you're dealing with different generations of employees, you can't be autocratic and you can't be more male than female. I mean, you have to be a blend. And so I've really had to adjust and adapt to that because it's not my normal leadership style.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense. You have been awarded in our community. So I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit and ask you, what's been one of your significant awards and how does it feel to be recognized? And then let's segue into, and I'll lead the question, the importance of tooting your own horn appropriately.
Sure. I think I've received many awards and I'm very grateful. Most recently, I was a finalist for Athena and that was huge for me, right? But I think probably the award that I did receive that really impacted me or affected me the most is I went through Leadership Grand Rapids in 1997. And in 2005, I was named by my leadership class as an extraordinary leader. And so that speaks volumes too, because if you've been through Leadership Grand Rapids, I mean, it's a really great program. It's through the chamber, but you bond with these people. I mean, you spend a whole year together every once a month and you bond with these people. And to be named by my whole group, I think there were maybe 25 people in my group, to be named as the extraordinary leader of our group, it was pretty cool.
Nice. Obviously, you can't carry the certificate around with you all day long, but is it important that we let others know that there have been awards in our lives?
It's important, yes, that we let each other know that there have been awards in our life. And as I say that, Shelley, I smile because I don't do a great job of that. I think that that's, you know, just part of who we are as women, not to categorize, but who we are as women is we just do what we do best and we get rewarded for it, but we don't necessarily talk about those rewards.
Who do you look for inspiration or even mentorship?
Jackie Taylor has been, as to many of us, has been a great mentor in our community. For inspiration, I read. One of my friends just told me about the new Falling Forward book by John Maxwell. I haven't started it, but I have the book. I have some, standbys. One of the books that I've read and gone to over and over again is called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. It's just, it's just when you begin to doubt yourself and you really need that pickup to empower yourself again.
How do you keep your team motivated?
Especially during COVID times. We've been doing things like a couple weeks ago, we had a team picnic, except for it rained and we had to be inside. We were going to go to John Ball Park. I was really excited about it. We had a team picnic and we bought food from one of our businesses and we had little lyrics for everybody. Like I was queen. I forget exactly what it was, but I was queen, the keeper of the keys when it comes to money, finding money for the organization. So we all had little limericks written about us and we shared that, during COVID. We took mental health days. I sent them juice and cookies. And it's just, and we have a weekly team meeting just to talk about where we're all at, And it's hard right now during COVID because people are just, everybody's struggling. And everybody comes from a different place in regards to how they respond to it. So,
do you recommend a young Bonnie Nawara gets involved in her community?
Yes. By all means, find something that you have passion around and volunteer. Start out. Sometimes you'll start out at a committee level and move into a board position. Even beyond what I've done with Grow, I've volunteered for probably the last 10 years with the Wyoming Mentorship Program. And I have I started with her. She was 8. And now she's 16. And so, I take her to the movies. I mean, she's my bud. And, I started out volunteering to help her with her reading and her math. Well, that went by the wayside very quickly. And then we just started doing fun stuff together.
Nice. Like singing, right?
Yes, exactly.
Did you always want to be a litigator?
Yes. The reason is I think I would have made a good litigator because I'm always challenged by puzzles, and especially if there's somebody on the other side saying, no, that's not right. And then it's like, oh, I think it is. Let me just figure it out. So I think I would have been good at that.
You grow a garden, but you give most of the produce away.
Mm-hmm. Usually to the wild critters that are around my house.
There's where we're going with that.
I can tell you a story. I planted corn this year, and I was very excited about the corn, and because I love corn on the cob. So I was very excited. And I came home one day, and my corn had been totally decimated. I mean, the stalks were bent over. There were no ears left on the stalks, and the squirrels had gotten into it. And I was so angry.
You ran your first, and I have to quote you, and only at this point, 5K at the age of 60. What drove you to do this?
Gazelle Girl. It was the very first year that Gazelle Girl happened. We were a recipient of the funds, one of the recipients of the funds. And I just thought, if I'm ever going to do this, I'll do this. And I ran it, walked it. And my good friends that were with me, they came back and got me. And I finished the last leg of it. I actually ran the last leg of it and ran across the finish line. So that was kind of cool. And I've done every Gazelle Girl since then. And sometimes I run, walk, but not. Run. I'm not like you, Shelley Irwin.
Wasn't going there. You held a job no other woman in the U.S. has ever held. I don't know the answer to this. What is the answer?
I was the very first female parts manager for class 6 and 7, the big semi trucks that you see on the road in the United States. And this was in the late 70s, early 80s. And how I got that job is I was hired originally as cashier for the parts department. And, you know, so I was in the parts department, and I just started learning how to look up parts for trucks. And then pretty soon I started waiting on the counter, and I got pretty good at it. And, you know, and because I was in a primarily male dominated world, I always had to work harder at it. And then I had been there, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 years, and the current parts manager decided he was leaving. And so I went to the CEO of the company and asked for the job. And, you know, I had to persuade him that I could do it, but I did it, and I did a good job at it. And I still maintain relationships from those days today. Yeah, it's cool.
But you had to work harder.
Yeah. I would go to national conferences. I'd be the only female there. You know, I'd go to national conferences. And these were the days when they showed slides, and they'd put, you know, scantily clad women in the slides amongst, like, the new engines that were coming out. And I remember having a conversation about that with the CEO of Cummins Engine Company at the time, saying, you know, this should not be. And so they did change it, so...
Bonnie, do I call you Benita?
No.
Mm. My no. last did you know, yes.
My yes. name's Bonnie. Everybody asks me when I tell them Bonnie, they will ask me if my real name is Benita, but it's not.
How do you create the next chapter?
That is a great question, Shelley. One I've been actually thinking about a lot lately. You know, I'm, like I say, I'm in my 60s, and so what is next for me? You know, Grow's doing great. We're, no pun intended, but we continue to grow. So I'm actually, you know, looking at that and thinking about that at this point in my life.
But until then, back to the office you go.
Right.
Do you have a motto that drives you daily?
I do. You want to know what it is?
I ask the questions, you give me the answer.
Okay. Life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards. That's my motto, because it's so true. I mean, you learn so much from your past experiences, but you have to move forward, right?
Would you do anything different?
I don't think so.
Thank you for this conversation, CEO of Grow, Bonnie Nowara.
Thanks, Shelley.
That does it for this edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk. I'm Shelley Irwin.
Produced by Women About Women, these powerful podcasts focus on powerful women and how their strength transforms who we are and how we live. Want to hear more Powerful Women Let's Talk? Get additional interviews at WGVU.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and subscribe. Powerful Women Let's Talk is produced by WGVU at the Meyer Public Broadcast Center at Grand Valley State University. The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of WGVU, its underwriters, or Grand Valley State University.
Powerful Women Let's Talk is made possible in part by Family Fair, keeping it real.